My guest today is Ricardo Bennett Lovesy. Ricardo, how are you?
I'm very well.
Are you enjoying DevSum?
I'm loving it.
This is the conference where we're at right now, DevSum 17. So is that guy. How was your talk yesterday?
It was good. It was the first time I've ever spoken in Scandinavia, and the experience was somewhat surreal, to say the least.
Surreal? How do you mean?
It's a very, very different climate to an English-speaking country.
Okay.
But I think I've been told it went down well. So,
all right. I heard good things about it. Tell me, what was the topic?
The topic itself was digital transformation and the need to go back to basics, in my opinion.
That doesn't tell me much. What does that mean?
So the essential treatise of it is that if we look at the concept of modern digital transformation, when people talk about it, effectively what they're referring to is the idea of the pervasiveness of digital technology in the lives of every human on the planet and how that is going to essentially change the way civilization functions, not to mention the fact that it's going to open up brand new avenues of innovation and business.
All right.
And that's not just now,
that's historically that has happened.
Yes, as well. The thing is, though, if you look at the history of human civilization, there's never been a time when we haven't been innovating in some way. There have been multiple documented epochs of intellectual revolutions, from the scientific revolution.
The Industrial Revolution.
The Industrial Revolution is the one everyone knows about. There are at least two of those. The Agricultural Revolution, the Medical Revolution, and we are currently in the Digital Revolution, which began back in the 1950s. So when you define a revolution, what you're effectively talking about is a new intellectual capacity and technology which is going to open up new avenues for innovation, new avenues for growth and business, and of course a massive impact on the way human beings live as a civilization. So to try and draw a distinction with digital transformation is effectively redundant. So when you're trying to say I'm involved in digital transformation or I'm a specialist in that, well, you should be anyway.
So it's meaningless.
Exactly.
To say
yes.
Digital transformation.
Precisely. Yeah. That's
just the fact that we're living in this age and we're working in IT.
Yes, and we are the practitioners of the current revolution. Mm-hmm. So we should be doing this all the time.
Okay.
Similarly, I suppose one good example is when we shifted to object orientation back in the 80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. You could have referred to that as some form of major transformative state, but we don't think about that now. It's just something that happened, even though it was groundbreaking.
Yeah.
So to try and suggest
eight levels of inheritance.
Yes,
every
exactly,
one of my
exactly. But to try and suggest that somehow there's going to be some sort of groundbreaking change in the way things are going forward, well, that's to be expected. There's nothing especially monumental about that.
Okay.
So and that was that. So the other side of the topic I was talking about was the fact that. But one of the problems, at least I see, or I have seen day to day, is the fact most of the time people are focusing too much on the next step and what's going to happen next year, which is fine. You need to do that. But everyone seems to forget that you have problems today and there are issues that need to be sorted out.
Give me an example of this.
So just the idea that, okay, another thing that is well documented is the software crisis, which we have a...
I have my own software crisis.
Yeah, well,
I didn't realize this was like a global thing.
As an industry, we have a dedicated web page on Wikipedia, which is purely about the fact that we are in crisis. It was a term that was coined back in 1968, a year before the moon landings, and it was defined as being the facets of the software crisis were things like software being of poor quality, software projects being over budget, software projects being over schedule, sometimes not getting delivered, being unmaintainable. I think we would all recognize these as facets of problems we face day in, day out.
I certainly have faced these problems many times.
Exactly. So in order to even face the idea of taking this transformation forward, surely we should be solving the problems that in our house today. So this is what I meant by going back to basics, looking at the primary skills, what it takes to build good software, run a project, and to master those.
Okay, yeah, then
we're
getting the good parts now.
We're not just
talking about problems with the semantics or crises we had in the past. What going forward, what should we be doing that we're not doing?
So in basic terms, I'm talking about things like getting to a stage where we have more reliable ways of estimating potential project costs, more established best practices, industry-wide with regards to testing, development, and all sorts, because every shop you go into, they'll always be reinventing the wheel from scratch.
That's true.
And you would not see this in any other major industry, and at least not any that have been established for the past couple of centuries. Why we're still doing it today is very hard to see. Now, it is getting better, but I think it's one of those issues which a lot of the time we're very nervous about acknowledging the fact that there are some people who just really don't know what they're doing. And it's not their fault. It's because we have a poor system of educating each other with regards to really what are the best ways to do these things.
Sure.
So it's incumbent upon us as a community to be more open.
Maybe us as more experienced software developers.
Yeah, well, anyone, as far as I'm concerned, if you have experience and you have talent in a particular field, you have a responsibility to the younger generation to bring them up to your level, and you will learn as much from them as they learn from you.
Okay.
So it's essentially down to the ability to be transparent with ourselves, with our customers, be honest about things, not just pretend that we are somehow going to deliver something in 6 months when we know it's going to be 18. It sounds obvious, it sounds basic, but that's why I called it back to basics.
This is the call to action. Is one is to stop lying to ourselves about things like estimates and things like that.
Yeah, I may not put it so strongly, but sure. I'm just one voice in this. You know,
is to a better job of education and mentoring, maybe apprenticeship programs.
Potentially, yes,
like other industries have.
Yeah, I'm not even pretending that I know what the answers are.
Okay. You're just trying to raise the questions.
Raise the question. I'm trying to just get us to admit that there are these issues. Part of it is about leaving the ego at the door when it comes to learning from our mistakes and gaining benefit from our own experience.
Right.
I'm certainly not the only person saying this.
I talked to Robert Martin, Uncle Bob Martin, he calls himself, and he points out that the number of programmers in the world doubles every 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the corollary to that is half the programmers in the world have less than 5 years experience.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem. That's an issue.
We
have a lot of very inexperienced, very junior developers out there.
Yeah, and it does get harder when you get. I've worked with severely talented people who are barely in their early 20s who have such great potential, and it's sad that they just don't have the support to bring them up to the fullestness of their own potential.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So that's point two, is that we as a I think this really falls on us being in the more experienced folks in the developer community.
I would agree.
To start building, sharing our information, sharing our knowledge.
Absolutely. And as I said, not only with us, but also with the wider community, our customers. Give them a more realistic set of expectations so that they no longer expect us to consistently fail, which is a pretty damning indictment of our own industry that we are expected to fail. Or rather, maybe not expected, but it's no one's surprised when it happens. I think that it's primarily about openness. It's primarily about the willingness to acknowledge our own shortcomings, to be a bit more introverted, to look within ourselves, and to try and come up with better answers to the questions, which are still here after all this time.
Interesting stuff. Are you writing about this?
As in what, blog posts?
Yeah.
I was thinking about it. I think I might after this.
Oh, you should. Yeah. Now that you're on camera, I heard you just promise that you are going to.
I'll do my best. I'll do my best.
And you are speaking about it around the UK, I heard.
I've already done a talk on this in London. I was slightly harsh with that because it was to a group of architects, but you know they're somewhat thicker skinned, so that was all right. There's definitely I generally seem to find that there's a split in the room, maybe 50-50.
Okay.
Maybe it's getting a bit better though. There are people who constantly come up to me and say this sounds like what we should be saying anyway. I just don't know if anyone would listen if I said that, in my own company. So I guess, I've had much, much better architects and developers than I saying it in much louder voices. So I'm just a quiet voice in this storm. But if I can just spread it out to some of the corners where it's a bit darker,
okay. I get literally tens of viewers in the show.
Well, in that case, my job is done for today. So.
Ricardo, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Much appreciated. I try not to judge my friends on how well they know technology, but it's not always easy.